But it kind of opens that larger conversation of like, how do we know when something is real or fake? We are officially back.
We back, baby.
Episode 8, season 5.
Episode 8.
Time off. We chilling.
Episode 8, never late.
Yeah. Cut. Cut the cameras. Yeah. Nah, I'm kidding. Stop. I'm kidding. What are you saying, man? It's been a minute. I haven't seen you in like 2 weeks.
Bro, it's been 2 weeks, man.
Yeah. It's a long time in podcast land.
It is. You know what? I think, and it's great too, because we're at the level. We're at the level. The level. Like, we're like, ooh, anything. Like, we're.
You got cocky now. We are. Okay.
But I have people hitting me up being like, man, like, you didn't drop an episode last week. What's going on? I'm like, okay, we got the people listening.
Yeah.
I love it. Also, I want to give a big shout out to my buddy Boyan. Boyan's been listening to the podcast lately. Yeah, yeah. Boyan, appreciate
He's an
you.
Active commenter on TikTok.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he backed us
some
up.
Spicy stuff.
He backed
yeah,
us
yeah.
up
he
against those
in.
Fucking
he
clowns,
in.
Man. He
Andrew
backed us
Tate
up.
Mob.
Yeah, he backed us up against the horse cow guys too, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But big shout outs to Boyan. We don't do enough shout outs to like the people who comment on our stuff.
100%.
Shout out to Uncle Peter Spurway. Yes, sir. Commenting on each one of our Facebook posts. Not Instagram or TikTok, but yeah. He's got the Facebook.
Damn, I'd be forgetting about that one. Yeah. I won't even lie to you.
Yeah.
I just like automatically post to everything and I don't check it. But we'll talk about one of our posts soon. But like, let's do a quick little just recap of our lives. What have you been up to? 2 weeks.
Just honestly,
highlights only.
Just heads down and work. We're getting into playoffs pretty soon, so it's an exciting time to be in the city. Whether you're a Maple Leafs fan or a Raptors fan, Blue Jays are back too.
Right.
So it's fun, man. It's a great time for the city. It's like things are starting to get a little bit like. I'm gonna say nicer out because it's still been kind of crappy.
I would say so. Yeah.
But
it's getting
like,
there.
I think we're starting to get over the hump. Like once we get past the next. You know, 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah. One more snowstorm and then
we're
in the clear, dare I say.
We should be.
You know.
We should be.
And we always gotta give our weather report.
Of course. The weather report, it's how you keep up with the times. Yeah. But generally speaking, like just trying to stay active.
Sure.
I'm almost done. I haven't really been talking about it too much on the podcast, but
I've
been doing the 100 days, 100 setups, 100 days challenge.
Almost time for the ab reveal.
Yeah, yeah. Almost time for the live ab reveal on live. Yeah. No. But honestly, it's been a great challenge. And like by the time that we do, by the time we do next week's episode, I'll have completed it. Yeah.
Okay.
On Friday's technically my last day.
You're going to just. Keep doing
I'm gonna
some
keep,
variation of it
or, yeah I think yeah. I'm just gonna keep doing it like I think it's important to like build routines. It's hard to build routines and like stick to them, and I have like a whole group of guys who are like also doing the same thing as
go.
me.
Yeah,
so I'm like, why don't we just turn this to a year thing? And like, to be honest, it's not like I don't have a six pack.
I'm not jacked
or anything like that, but it's like I definitely feel more toned. My core muscles are like definitely a lot stronger,
okay.
more refined. So I'm feeling good, but I think I can definitely take it to like another level. Maybe it's like 200 sit-ups a day for 100 days.
A different variation of sit-ups that's harder or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, basically just trying to stay active and been hooping lately.
Okay.
Got to get you down. Got to get you and Odie, chose the Odie.
Yeah, yeah.
Down to the Kings Court runs on Saturdays, man.
There you go.
I'm just afraid you guys are going to foul the absolute shit out of me, but. Been doing that, man. It's fun.
Embarrass you.
It's so important to like stay active during the winter months, because in Canada it gets so like gray and shitty and like
I think
snowy.
You like need something. Like for some people it's the gym, but for me like the gym always felt a little just like not
it's
boring
maintenance.
But yeah, it's versus when you're doing a sport or like an activity, like keeping people to do like rock climbing and stuff like that. It's like that gets you doing something that's fun and challenging. You meet new people, you stay active. I think everyone should kind of have something like that.
I totally.
Shout out to BioSteel.
Yeah, shout out to BioSteel. Speaking of getting active, you know, hashtag Team BioSteel.
There you go.
I see you guys release a new Blue Jays drink. It's a blue cherry flavor, available in Canada now. Obviously lined it up with the season opener last week.
Ooh.
So maybe these guys will come through with a product.
Hey,
we're pushing
for the partnership heavy.
I love BioSteel. This is not paid endorsement. I genuinely love the product. Shout out to BioSteel. But I've been staying active, staying fit, enjoying the time, but definitely excited and ready for summer. How about you?
I feel like the same. Funny, it's like it's hard to think of like what did you do over the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, no way.
Like other than watch Love Is Blind.
Oh my god! You said yeah. Just kidding, but you definitely watched that.
I love that shit. But other than that, yeah, I've been staying active as well. I started running with this team at the boxing gym.
Let's go. So I saw the post.
5K, 6K runs, trying to build up to the 10K. Anyone that knows me, I've never been a runner, and like I'm a pretty shitty runner now. So like I'm trying to just stay consistent and get better at that, you know, but it's tough, man.
Yeah.
Running is like, cause like, I feel like I'm decent at cardio in other ways, but running itself, feet on the pavement, running outside is like, whoa.
Yeah. It's totally different when you're different. Like in the gym, like on a treadmill or on a bike or something like that. Cause you just go for like, I don't know, 15 to 20 minutes at a time. Yeah. You just go at like a consistent pace, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you're done. Or if you're playing basketball, it's kind of like in bursts.
Different.
Like
you go, yeah, it's different.
Like, you know, you're stopping, you're starting, like you're kind of moving. But with running, it's like that sustained.
30 minutes, 40 minutes, just feet on pavement, running outside.
Yeah, totally. So. I would love to get into doing something like that.
Yeah.
But just nursing a sore knee.
Sure. So, athlete problems. You know,
problems, you know, man.
We're a sports podcast.
Yeah, straight up. But honestly, can't complain. Things are good. Summer's, you know, just around the corner, hopefully. 100%.
Yeah. We're getting there.
Yeah, but we're getting there.
Something we got to talk about.
We have to talk about it. We have
today to. Is April 3rd, whatever it is, but April 1st just came around, April Fool's, and we threw out this like quick little post on Instagram that was saying that Drake had announced that the Mad Mix podcast was his favorite podcast to listen to. You know, not unbelievable.
It could be. It could, very well could be.
Yeah. We wouldn't actually know.
We wouldn't know.
Yeah. and the comments are flooded. You know, people are just like, yo, this got me. Or like, this is fire. Love this post. Friends are like sending me screenshots like, yo, I believe this. And like family believe this. And I'm like, okay. I mean, that makes me feel good.
Bro, it's like the fact that
but it's like somewhat plausible that Drake could be listening to our podcast.
I mean, it's hilarious, right? It's I'm just going to pull up a comment here from my buddy.
Yeah. That was funny.
It was hilarious. Yeah. So he says, fuck me, dude. You got me so bad. I was showing my daughter trying to explain how huge this was for you.
Yes.
Sir. And I'm like, man, I appreciate that. I told her, I told my friend, I was like, yo, tell your daughter. She's not going to know the difference anyways.
Yeah,
just tell her, gas it up, gas it up. But no, definitely hilarious. I always find like April Fool's jokes, right? Because like you can like, I mean, as someone who's worked in advertising and marketing for, you know, a number of years.
Yeah.
I like... You can just tell, like, I'm like, okay, what, like, I saw Tim Hortons did, like, they're changing, like, the Timbits to be, like, square, cube shaped, and everyone on the comment section was like, these fucking guys, like, you know.
People didn't realize?
Yeah, they're like, I can't believe this is so dumb. I'm like, bro, like, you're the idiot.
Yeah, come on.
And it was on LinkedIn, too. What I actually really appreciate is that it wasn't, like, it wasn't, like a Facebook or Instagram post or anything. It was on LinkedIn with all these fucking dickhead marketers being like,
you're ruining the brand.
I'm so smart. You're ruining the brand. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, bro, you look like a dumbass right now. Stop taking it so seriously.
Yeah.
That's when you know you just got to not take it so seriously.
Yeah.
But
you see any other brands? Any other stuff?
I don't know. Like,
I didn't see too many. I have a good one to mention. But
I kind of forgot.
Okay.
When I woke up in the morning, I was like, oh. I was like,
what? Yeah. What got me that? I can't even remember. There was a post that I saw. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, I saw it at like noon, and then I'm like, oh, it's April Fool's. And then that's when I messaged you. I'm like, yo, should we just get something quick out for the Mad Mix, you know, like Drake or something like that.
When you messaged me, I was just like, yeah, sounds good. And I was like, oh, shit, that's today.
Yeah. And then I realized that too. I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to do this like now. Okay.
Right.
But I saw Duolingo, so I don't know if you watched the video, but they basically did like a reality show teaser where the concept for the reality show was no one speaks the same language and they're using Duolingo to like fall in love with each other.
Bro, that's the type of shit that you would fucking, you would watch the shit out of.
So
that.
I saw the, because they posted it days before April Fool's. They posted like 2 days before. That's what some brands are doing too, which I'm like, doesn't count.
Yeah, you don't need a pre-promote.
Yeah, like it's not a Super Bowl type of, you know? But it was well shot. Like they brought previous like reality show contestants and like people that everyone knows that loves these reality shows into this house, and I'm like, yo, oh, this is a great concept for a show and all that, but yeah, that was all a joke
pretty much. It was just a lead up to the moment they like pull the plug. And
they didn't actually say April Fool's, I don't think, but it was just obvious because of the timing and all that.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But I'm like, yo, this is like, they actually went all the way out.
It's an ad campaign. Like they, yeah, it's an ad campaign, pretty right? Much, like, you know? That's actually a really smart way to do it.
I thought it was pretty smart.
Yeah. It's like super believable.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, there's some things like for April Fool's, it's like, you're like, okay, like, whoa, we're changing our color, brand color from this to this. Just kidding.
Yeah.
But like with shit like that, you're like, oh, it's actually kind of jokes because it's like,
advertises their platform.
Yeah, yeah. It's super believable. It doesn't like take away from the product.
Yeah.
In fact, it like makes it more like, I don't know, appealing.
Yeah. Yeah.
To like a certain demographic.
It fits their brand because that Duolingo mascot is always being cheeky and like, you know, overly suggestive and all of that. So it's like, it just works, you know?
Yeah. But I love that. I think it's a great way to like draw attention to the platform and in a way that like doesn't detract from anything else.
100%. Yeah. See, we uplift brands as well. We're not just trashing.
Yeah. You know? Like, we're not just trashing the shit of them. But speaking of what I was up to,
let's talk about it.
I had to give a big shout out to Humber College. So we are Humber. Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Forgot that?
Dude, I forgot about that. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Our old program, Advertising, Marketing, Communications, a.k.a. ADMC, threw their annual networking event last week.
For the students.
Yeah, for their students. Basically, the whole program is... leading up to the last semester, you kind of organize, host like a networking event with like industry professionals in hopes that you would get, you know, meet somebody that night and, you know, spark a conversation for like an internship program at X company.
Yeah.
So being the gracious guy that I am, I lent my time. No, I'm just kidding. I pulled up because I wanted one, support the program. It's a great program. A lot of like really successful people.
We mentioned that we went to that
program. Oh yeah. Like we also, a lot of really successful people, including Doc and myself, went to the program, but those things are always interesting. And I remember we did an episode or like a segment on like this networking event, whether it was like the blog or a previous podcast that we did. And like, I think it's so beneficial for students to like put themselves out there.
Yeah.
What I thought the event was, it was really great. It was great to see like obviously a very massive turnout.
Yeah.
A lot of really great industry professionals came through. You know, got to meet a couple of students, talk about, you know, their priorities, where they want to end up. All I got to say is if you're a student and you're looking for a job, or you're looking for an internship, kind of know what you want. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, walking into a first time conversation with like an industry professional can sometimes be a little bit intimidating. But if there are certain people that like, you know, like that you want to talk to this person, do your homework on them, you know, figure out what they're about. Keep it casual. You don't have to be overly professional either. I think one thing, like as someone who's been on both sides, someone who's been on, you know, the networking event side, but also like as an industry professional coming in to talk to students, I think so many people get caught up in like, oh, I need to like address you this way, or I need to be this. And like, it's definitely coming from a place of respect. So like, I totally get it, but just be casual.
Be yourself.
Yeah. Be yourself. Yeah. The people who stood out to me the most were the people who were like authentic and genuine, even if they didn't like really, really know, like, I want to do this in 5 years. This is how I'm going to get here.
Yeah.
That's all good. All you have to do, especially at an internship level, the reality is, you're probably going to be doing like some of the grunt work at whatever company you go to, some probably like the work that like, you know, setting up meetings or taking notes or, you know, just soaking everything in. All you have to do is just show that you're eager, show that you're a good person and like you want to get to know this person a little bit more.
Yeah. And show like how you can help.
Yeah, totally. You know, that's a great point.
Like if you have an idea of what you can offer, obviously you have no experience for the most part. You're still just graduating. So like no one's expecting you to have the knowledge of an executive. But at least, like you said, have some sort of direction as to what you might want to do. Like if it's an accounts, like what about that is interesting you? Like what can you bring to the table to be an account service intern? Like you should be able to at the very base level answer that question.
Yeah, totally.
You know? If you can't, then...
Then it's like, you know... Then,
I don't know what you want.
Yeah.
Then, you don't know what you want either.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, exactly. It's like, know? It's not about necessarily impressing me. It's more how you can showcase yourself to, you know, various industry professionals. But at the end of the day, great event. Got to catch up with some old colleagues too. Of course, shout out to Anna.
Yeah.
I told her that I wanted your spot. I wanted my spot back at the advisory committee. So trying to see if we can make that.
There
can
be two of us.
Yeah, there can only be one black guy in all professional settings.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, just one competing for it. Good times though, man. Yeah, like remember the networking event? I was like hunting down John Street. We don't need to get into all that, but that's a great story for sure.
But to be honest, like it's a good example of like
I was focused.
You focused. Yeah. You did your research. You know why you wanted to go somewhere, and you made it happen. You 100%. Know what I mean? And it's like I think it's, you know, while it takes a lot of, you know, courage and homework and studying to like get to that point.
Yeah,
it's a testament that like things can just be that simple. Of like, I know that I want to go here. I know this person's here. I have an opportunity to talk to them. But let's make it happen.
And let people in your program like know what you're interested in as well. Yeah. Like you all knew that I wanted that internship. So when they came in as an industry professionals, all of my classmates basically rolled out the red carpet for them to come directly to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they're like, he wants it. He's made it super clear. Here's where Dak is, by the way. And they're just bringing them over to me. And I'm
totally.
It's because I spoke about this a million times.
Yeah,
you know?
So, absolutely.
But anyway, we'll keep moving. We got a bunch of topics, but to round up a bit of the recap, women's basketball, man.
Yeah, huge game yesterday, man.
Electrifying.
Huge game.
Iowa versus LSU. LSU came on top. Shout out to the Tigers. Did you watch the game?
Yeah, I watched the second half.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mainly saw the highlights, but the discussion afterwards is what's getting the internet in a frenzy, pretty much.
And it comes from a place of like, oh, didn't see this one coming.
Angel Reese, how do we describe this? So she basically had a, you know, they're winning. So it's a competitive sport, right? And she's doing a gesture to Caitlin Clark, which is, you know, they're kind of creating a rivalry. And she's showing, I got the one up on you pretty much.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark is also like a standout, fantastic player. I don't know if she set records or anything
that. Yeah.
But like has been like
most three-pointers in a championship.
Yeah, probably one of the most standout players in like not only just like, you know, women's college basketball, but like women's basketball kind of like this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like,
so they've been having like there's been kind of a rivalry there as well. But when Angel Reese did this, you know, this act of kind of just waving her hand in front of her face like the "You Can't See Me, John Cena," there's that clip. And the comments and the sports journalism is kind of showcasing that as like classless. And this is somebody that is unsportsmanlike.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And it's interesting because a lot of people are comparing it to Caitlin Clark, who is, you know, a white woman that has done the exact same thing. The exact same thing. And she was seen as like powerful and triumphant and like she's passionate and all of that.
Yep.
And it's just interesting the narrative and how it's different with a black woman versus a white woman.
Absolutely.
Right? I don't think any of us are surprised.
I'm definitely not surprised. I knew as soon as I saw that photo, it's a cold photo, by the way. Icy. Yeah, yeah. It's a great photo. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know enough about either team to like comment on them and be like, you know, I was rooting for this guy the whole time. Because like I don't have that same perspective.
Yep.
But like you have to look at these two situations objectively, and I'm like, okay, black woman does the same thing as a white woman. Okay, I think you kind of know how this goes.
The reporting is biased.
The comment section is biased. Like all of a sudden, like all the horse cop kids, all the Andrew Tate kids are coming into the comment section suddenly commenting about women's basketball, which like is kind of good.
Yeah.
But
sure.
For like the sport in terms of like the dialogue that surrounds it and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, of course, it always ends up with like this kind of situation, that like juxtaposition and contradiction of like the success of like a black woman who won a championship at the end and was like a focal part in like winning a championship for
her team.
Their team
killed it that year. Yeah, and they were doing amazing.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And then, you know, to your point, same thing happens on the other side, and it's like, oh, like this person's like, I don't know. It
ruins a moment for someone that's in college as well. Like these are young women, right?
Right.
Like, it ruins a moment for Angel Reese because now she has to comment on all of this and the backlash versus just like fully celebrating her win.
Yeah.
And then it's like for a moment, what I'm glad is that she's being unapologetic about it And she didn't take the other route of being, you know, like minimizing her
success.
It's like,
no,
she's like, we won. Like, I'm from Baltimore. We celebrate like that. And I'm like, I love that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Everyone comments on, remember that Damian Lillard game-winning three against it was OKC, where you're like, hit that big three over Paul George, and then he did like the wave and goodbye, Sally.
Yeah, yeah.
No one talks about that.
Yeah.
No one talks about that in the same kind of like vein, right?
Right, right.
It's like a totally different story when you involve men, right?
That's
true. People look at Michael Jordan, they look at Kobe, they look at LeBron.
Yeah.
They look at all these like very influential male basketball players who have like an edge to them.
Yeah.
And we're like,
we love that.
Yeah.
Stuff.
And like, we're like, that's sick. That's unreal. You know what I mean? No one will comment on like, Michael Jordan was too unsportsmanlike that I didn't like him. No, like, people worship him like he's a god. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it's like the moment that you shift it towards like women's basketball, regardless of any level, you can just see like the types of biases and the types of hate like that come into the conversation, the dialogue that, you know, is supposed to be about like, damn, that was actually like a sick Sully. Like,
she
just absolutely like, you know, iced the game. You know, they dominated them, and then she just, you know, did a great Sully as a response.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's not even like provoked. It's like, as a response.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know what you want me to say.
It's, like, it's just so black and white. Like the fact that they have both celebrations, one from each person. Like, I love that it worked out that way, because then you can clearly see the bias.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not like it's two different kinds of stuff. Like, it's the same celebration.
Yeah, and do the mental gymnastics to convince me otherwise.
Go ahead.
Like,
yeah,
you know just show me how this is different.
Yeah.
But have you ever noticed that like this same kind of like opinion, this like objective, like, oh well, this is different than this, and this is different than this. Yeah. Don't you see that happening? Time and time again.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, like you're just convincing yourself that like, you're like, well, I'm not racist or I'm not this
because
of this. And it's like, well,
blank. Because
okay.
Blank, pretty much.
Yeah. Exactly.
If you're starting a sentence with "I'm not racist," I'm sorry to tell you. It's, you know what I mean?
You know,
it's not looking good, bro.
It's not looking good, bro. It's not looking good.
Oh man, let's move on.
In all honesty, I saw the stats behind that. I think there was like 2.5 million people who like tuned in to watch that game.
Oh man,
what an advancement for women's basketball! That is very much on the rise, in both the States and in Canada. It's great to see, regardless. It's great that these kind of rivalries are starting to exist. I think it draws more like dynamic to the sport.
It needs to carry over to the WNBA.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, they're marketing. They need a step. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the marketing over there.
I think the WNBA is like doing very well for what it is.
I guess so. I just feel like, again, that grit of like the NBA, of like the rivalries of like Larry and Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. You know, like, they need that level of, you know, tune in. Exactly what we're seeing in the college, you know, teams. Like, there were so many rivalries between teams and all the trash talking, and it was like, that's why people were tuning in. They're like, oh shit, we need to see how Angel Reese performs, because Caitlin Clark has been talking shit and popping off.
That's
what people like in sports. It's a story. It's a dialogue. It's all of that. You know?
Totally. So. Don't forget, like, the WNBA and like the grand scheme of things is like still really new. Like,
it is,
there's always like a number one top prospect that's like coming into the WNBA like every season, kind of thing. It's just getting better and better, but based on like the types of players that you're seeing in college. These are the types of people that you're going to be seeing in the WNBA if they choose to go there.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of if they make it, it's if they choose to go, because they're that talented.
There's so many factors.
But it'll be cool. There's going to be a WNBA game in Toronto.
Crazy.
I think it's the best market to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to pitch for a team.
I know, we need one, man.
That'd be crazy.
I think a WNBA team would like thrive in this city, and I think it would be really good for the league.
Yeah, straight up.
Yeah.
Straight up. Okay. Well,
anyways, hit us up if you we might actually get
the game.
yeah. We might get some horse cough guys in the comments for that one.
Anyone
who commented on the Andrew Tate video or the horse cough video, like, let us know what you think about the Iowa versus LSU thing. Like, I'm inviting you into the comment section
this
time.
Would love to
know. Just hit us up. Like, we're expecting you there, so we'll see you there.
Oh, can't wait. We got to talk about AI once again.
Yep.
so much advancement in AI.
And kind of April Fool's almost, April Fool's esque.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. And that's just been happening constantly, pretty right. much. But I want to talk about this AI boom and misinformation, which is a pretty important topic. Maybe not now for some people, but like future thinking, absolutely.
Yep.
Did you see the AI Pope with all the bling and the parka jacket?
Yeah.
Like, so I posted a story on the Madnix account of like how many people fell for it, right?
Yeah.
And like 70% were like, yeah, we thought it was true when we first saw it. And there's not necessarily any harm attached to this. Like, there was a photo that went viral of the Pope with a blinged out cross chain and a parka jacket. And everyone was like, oh my God, the Pope got all the drip. This is Catholic drip and all of that. And it turns out this was an AI-generated photo using a tool called Midjourney, which is kind of like, you know, you can type in certain prompts and then receive a photo of the Pope blinged right. out. You know what yeah. I mean? But it kind of opens that larger conversation of like, how do we know when something is real or fake?
Yeah, it's starting to bubble up.
Yeah,
it's
right?
starting to get crazy.
Because there are, you might look at that as harmless, but some people might have looked at that photo and thought that, you know, the Pope is ridiculous for that, and that
he's trying
has
to appeal.
An effect on Christianity for them, yeah. or
he's
whatever.
He's trying to
you know?
Appeal to a black demographic here, yeah. man. We can't have this. This is just the you know Pope I mean? We're talking yeah. about here.
And you got just AI kidding. Music as well, where they're starting to put like
yeah.
people's vocal. I sent you a few of Kanye's vocal sounding crisp on like God's Plan,
yeah.
or like Western Road Flows by yeah. Drake, or yeah. Still Dre by Dr. Dre, and yeah. it sounds so perfect.
It sounds.
I won't say perfect, actually.
It sounds real.
It sounds real.
It sounds real not enough perfect. For me to like listen to it and be like, oh, like that's crazy. There's a remix.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
No, you go.
I was just going to quickly on the AI music. There was a rapper that made a song with that sounded like 90s Jay-Z on the feature, and they were trading bars back and forth. So basically, he raps Jay-Z's part, and then he uses the AI to turn it into Jay-Z's voice. But he's using Jay-Z's cadence and everything, and it sounds like I would download that song. It sounded so good.
That's crazy.
But I don't like how good it was.
Yeah.
Like, this is all kind of scary, to be honest. And it's like, how do you tell when something's real or fake?
I think it has huge implications on the music
huge.
Industry, right?
Oh, my God,
like,
yeah.
It changes a lot of things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's, maybe it's been here longer than we thought.
Yo.
Conspiracy
theories.
This is, yeah.
Shit.
But it's interesting, though, right? Because, like, before, like, when, like, artists used to have to record in the same proximity yeah. when they were recording a song. Don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Artists now don't even have to like they can approve a set of lyrics and be like, okay, we'll send you the track after. It's gonna sound exactly like you.
Yeah.
And I think that's like it's cool for the advancement of technology.
Yes.
But I think it kind of like I don't know. I'm not gonna sound like an old head. I think that there's ways to be able to use this in a way that is still very creative and very cool.
Yeah.
I think it has like I think the people who will have problems with this are like the people who are saying like, oh, well, this person didn't use a real guitar or real drums in their song. So it's like not music. You know what I mean? It's like those kind
of. I don't know. Is that the same?
I'd say it's in the same realm. It's people like my point being
yeah.
people who are still very much in like the analog stage of like music enjoyment. People who are very much like traditionalist music yeah, has yeah. to be played this way. It has to be done this way. I think this is like while we're having fun playing around with like, okay, well, like let's put this guy's voice on this song
yeah,
or this
yeah.
whatever. I think there's probably a lot more to like AI and music that is like can be added as like a creative tool versus
yeah.
like just making like, oh, well, you thought this was a Kanye song, but it's actually a
yeah.
Drake song.
Yeah. What I've heard like one application for in the music industry is, you know, the concept of like a reference track.
Yeah.
Drake has written songs for Kanye, and sometimes he'll just give like a reference. It's like, here's what I think it should sound like. Now imagine if he could just like put Kanye's vocals on it and be like, recreate this.
Yeah.
Like, this is how it should sound like with your voice on it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Cause like number one, instruments have kind of been replaced by, you know, not fake sounds, but like digital sounds.
Yep.
Auto-tune is changing vocals for the past forever, really. You know, yeah. Probably more common with the mid-2000s. But I think I'm still hanging on to, like, vocals need to be from the person.
Yeah.
Even like, if it's auto-tune, totally. Sure. But, like, I don't want to, like, I was talking about that Jay-Z song that I'm joking that I would download, but I wouldn't actually download it because it's not him.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes back to our conversation of, like, AI art. Like, if I know that this is not made by, like, a person, why would I want it in my home?
Yeah, like, dehumanizes.
No matter how good it looks.
Yeah, it takes away the creativity. Like, it's a product. It's just a manufactured product that's like, okay, cool. I want a Lil Uzi song or Lil Uzi vocals on a Drake song or whatever.
Yeah, man. It might sound fire.
Yeah, it sounds fire, but it's like, you know, it's just kind of made up. And I hate to sound like an old head.
Yeah,
but, like, the way that things are going, like, right now, it's, like, definitely caters to... I don't know, my disbelief in like, oh, well, like, I think things should be this way. Yeah. And I'm trying to break that down a little bit, to be honest, because I think that, like, I'm someone who loves technology.
Yeah, that's
loves where, like, new hip-hop, new age hip-hop is going. Like, I like new age hip-hop almost more than old school, right? Like, people were like, oh, I'm a big 90s rap fan. I'm like, I like 90s hip-hop. I also love Yeet.
You love
this, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I love this shit, bro.
Tupac featuring Yeet.
Yeah. Look,
do you remember those? Those have been a thing forever, though, on YouTube.
Oh, like,
Tupac featuring Lil Wayne videos where they'd splice it together.
Yeah.
Now they can just do it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But, I think so. AI music is one thing, but the photos are another because they're getting better. Like, it used to be the hands and fingers were all messed up.
Yeah.
But now AI is getting better at, like that Pope photo. I'm sorry. That looked pretty.
It looked real. And there's also another photo of, like, Trump getting arrested.
Yeah. And people believe that stuff, right? It's like, how do you, what do you do?
Unless you're close to it. Unless you understand, like,
like,
you and I can sit here and be like, okay, this is definitely fake.
Yeah.
But it's like, imagine people who are, like, older than us, who, like, don't know how to fucking turn on a TV.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, shit, I saw this. This is real.
It's real.
I think I said
this. To them, it's real.
Yeah, totally. I think that what was really interesting, and I can't remember if I mentioned this on a previous episode, but I think back in, like, the 50s or the 60s, it might have been the 70s.
Yeah.
It might have been before that. I don't know. It was a long fucking time ago.
Yeah.
There was, like, a story on the radio about how aliens were coming to Earth.
I remember that.
Right? And they were talking. There was, like, it was, like, this whole, like, oh, my God, like, aliens are coming to Earth, and, like, they created, like, this whole narrative and this story, and people tuned in, and they were, like, so scared, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then it was just, like, a hoax. It was, like, it was just, like, it was a story that was just made up, like, a segment kind of thing. And people were outraged by it because they were like, yo, you freaked the shit out of us for, like, no reason, right?
Yeah.
This kind of feels like it's in the same world, man. Right? Yeah.
With the technology that we have, this is the 80-year advancement version of that.
Of that. You know what I mean? Yeah, right? Yeah. And, like, that's where, like, there were quickly, like, broadcast laws that were put into place where it's like, if you're putting yourself on broadcast, you have to follow a specific set of regulations in order for something to go out into the world.
Yeah.
But for something like this, we're still in, like, that early phase where it's like, okay, the laws and the rules haven't, like, caught up to, like, determining what's real and how to use this thing in a way that's not going to, like, you know, make people think that it's fake or it's real. Like, you know,
you just have to know.
Yeah.
You just have to know. You have to trust that the comments are real when they say that it's AI. Like, I don't, it could be AI or not. I don't know anymore sometimes.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's going to have a huge context. Implication on, like, real life things like elections or you know, how we, you know, create laws or rules or, like, you know, public perception. Like, you know, someone could, like, make an AI photo of me if they really wanted to, of me, like, robbing a bank or, like, doing a drug deal or something like that. Yeah. Like, people, 100%. Or, you know, and people could believe it.
Man, there was one of LeBron James wearing a pink skirt on the street. And people, like, the person commenting was using that to, like, emasculate LeBron and saying, like, this is who we look up to. And all the, some of the comments get it that it's fake, but a lot of comments are, like, making fun of LeBron. And I'm like, that's another, it's a small example, but it's like, that photo looks so real. Looked like he was wearing a pink skirt.
Yeah.
And is that a big deal? To some people, it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's, like, it's crazy, man.
Like, should that be news? Probably not.
Yeah. I don't give a shit what LeBron's wearing. He's still the GOAT.
You know
what I'm saying? Like,
Nah, it's crazy. Like, so something I have here is Elon Musk and some other tech founders, like the co-founder of Apple as well. They're making a call to halt on the advancement of AI. They're basically saying it's going a little too far in terms of the training algorithm, like with ChatGPT and ChatGPT-4 and all of that. We're going too fast. Let's take 6 months to just like halt and like understand what this is. And you read that and you're like, okay, they have our best interest in mind. But then you also remember, like, they're all coming from companies that are probably working on AI tools and products. Yeah. So, like, are you saying that so that Microsoft and ChatGPT can chill for 6 months while you work while on your competitor? Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. It's the criticism in me.
It's a very good point.
What's going on, though? You know?
I think he is someone who he probably shouldn't have that, you know, perspective.
Yeah.
I think like the lawmakers, the rule makers in this country should probably like examine that, but they need the support of like people in tech because, you know, we'll get into it in a sec about TikTok, but I don't think people who understand or who are making laws around something are, you know, should probably understand what we're talking about here.
Yeah. Do you want to jump into that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do that.
I feel like it's crazy.
Yeah, man, I sent you so many videos about it on TikTok, funny enough, but TikTok is potentially going to be banned in the U.S. And the CEO, I can't remember his name, but he appeared in front of Congress to testify, I think about a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
They were just grilled. Like, this was hard to watch.
Yeah.
Because they're asking him questions and directing the answers, saying like, yes, you can only say yes, no, yes, no. And he's like, no, I need to explain this. They're like, so that's a no, or that's a yes. And they already had their preconceived kind of notion of what they're expecting, right?
Yeah.
This company is controlled by China, and there's issues with data and privacy, and like all of the Americans are exposed, so we need to get rid of it. That is the perception they have in mind, and it's being reflected in the questions they were asking.
Yeah, they're just so scared.
They're
terrified.
TikTok has access to the Wi-Fi, the home Wi-Fi. So it's like, what kind of question is that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's crazy because it's like, these people, like, definitely, to your point, like, aren't objective people. Like, they're very subjective, very emotionally driven. And it's like, these people are also, like, they have an opportunity to have a conversation with this guy, right? Am I going to sit here and think that, like, TikTok is, like, perfect with how things,
I don't know,
data is shared, whatever it is? No.
No.
But
Neither is Google. Neither is Instagram.
Neither is Meta. Instagram, Facebook, all this stuff is, man, it's all part of the same shit. The just difference is that it's Chinese.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what I find like embarrassing is that like to my last point, like these like Congress people are like in there talking to them, and it's like it's so clear that they don't have any understanding of what this actually is. And it puts their integrity at risk, right? It's like,
it was embarrassing.
Yeah, it was kind of embarrassing to watch. And it's like, it's a snapshot of like American politics in a nutshell, right? Where it's like, we don't get something, something's different, we don't know it, that thing is bad.
Even though you're trying to explain it in a very logical way.
Yeah, extremely logical.
Yeah.
Like there was no
patient, all of that.
Like there was no, I remember like just for comparison and contrast, I watched, Jagmeet Singh have a conversation with Galen Weston on TikTok, and it was like in, I don't know, not the House of Commons, but some type of political building where they're like having a conversation about the cost of groceries going up, kind of thing. And Galen Weston, like, he was obviously like being very careful with his words, very selective with like based on like what his lawyers are saying and all that kind of stuff, based on how to create a defense, all that. You know, not going to dive too far into that, but I think you get the point. So there's a difference between like legitimate questions being asked to someone who is trying to play defense versus illegitimate questions being asked to someone who's just trying to provide clarity.
Literally.
And it's like, it's bonkers to me how like this gentleman, he was very clear with his answers.
Yeah.
He's like, we are not doing this. We are doing this. And it's like all relatively simple things. It's like, oh, well, like, how come this person's information is shared here? It's like, well, like, we have a privacy policy where you accept. And like, this is how, like, people opt into this. People aren't forced to do it.
Man, they're talking about, like, you know, why there are videos of, like, guns on TikTok and, like, videos related to, like, suicide and all that. And here's the thing. Like, there are content. There are content teams that are scrubbing and getting rid of that stuff. It doesn't always work the same day, but if you go on Twitter, you can watch beheading videos.
Yes.
If you go
on Instagram, straight up,
easily.
Yeah, that shit exists. Reddit, like, welcome to the internet.
Yeah, so everyone's trying. So it's like to blame TikTok for privacy. It's just like it makes me put my conspiracy theory hat on and wonder, like, are other social apps behind all this pressure they're trying to put on TikTok? Because they've all tried to put out a competitor to beat TikTok, and TikTok is miles ahead.
Yeah.
So I'm like, is Meta, like, trying to slow down TikTok and get rid of them in the States? Or it's got to be something.
Yeah.
I'm just like, where is all this coming from?
Yeah.
Just to a loose tie to China. Like, they're not actually really even operating in China or any communication with China whatsoever.
Yeah, it's...
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. They're an American company for all that.
Yeah, honestly. And, like, I don't know. I feel like it's again, just baked in fear, right? People are scared of things that they don't get, they don't understand. But it's, like, it's embarrassing to your point. Like, you know what I mean? What's kind of interesting, though, it's, like, you know, we can jump into, like, will TikTok be banned in a sec?
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, it's really interesting to hear how, like, people consume information these days, you know, whether it's on TikTok, whether it's on Instagram, whether it's, like, reading the news or something like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like the almost like two-way funnel of how people consume media these days is, like, jeopardized in conversations like this, where it's like, it's it feels like it's very much preserving, like, the, we need to be the ones to control information and how it's dispersed and sent out versus it being coming from content or an influencer or, you know,
like,
whatever.
They want to get rid of that.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's really important to, like, I'll first and foremost say squash misinformation, right? Yeah, like misinformation, like important information like that, definitely needs to be handled in a very specific way. I'm not encouraging people or saying, like, stop reading the news and just start going on TikTok and you'll be good.
No, not at all am I saying that.
Right. But what I'm saying is that, like, you have to understand that these tools are used in very specific ways. And it's like you're dating yourself by thinking that you can be the only person who can communicate information to the public.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's no, nowadays, there's podcasts, there's Instagram, there's opportunities for people to comment back. There's opportunities for people to, like, share their own voices.
Yeah.
Like Joe Rogan, for example, has, like, built this entire, like, media conglomerate for himself.
Right.
And people are saying, well, like, he shouldn't have a platform because X, Y, Z. And I'm like, I think Joe Rogan's, like, information, like, I don't consume his content. I think it can be a little bit, like, out there and, like, inappropriate. But, like, to think that you can just be like, to think that you can be like, no, stop saying that because, you know,
I don't agree with it.
Or it's like, it's not even just, I don't agree with it, but it's like, just based on the principle of, like, how people access information, is like, you can't do that.
Yeah. And it actually came up in the, I don't know if it's a trial that was, you know, at Congress or whatever it was, but one of the questions they were comparing the TikTok app in, outside of China, it's very different than the Chinese version of the app, right? Because of the way the government is set up.
The same way that, like, communication information in China is very different.
Very different. Just, so they're bringing up and they're like, oh, you have the ability to, like, control the content that users see in China. Why can't you apply that same thing to the States where we wouldn't be able to see any negative content or stuff like that? And at a very simple level, he's like, it's a different government, it's a different society, it's a different country, it's a different,
like,
you know,
rules.
What I mean? It's a different rules. Like, it's not, you can't just compare these things. And they're, like, cutting him off, and I'm like, is that a real question? Like, do we now want this whole Big Brother style?
It's like, it's so painful
on our social apps. Could you imagine?
Oh, it's incredibly, like, painfully ironic, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like, you're an American. Yeah. Like, listen to what you're saying.
That was the funny part, man.
Like, you guys pride yourselves. The reason why you guys let people walk into schools with guns and kill people is the same fucking comment that you're saying to, like,
freedom of speech.
It's the
same
fucking thing. And it's like,
it's a joke, man.
It's, and people who don't understand that perspective, I'm like, how? It's bonkers to me. It's crazy to me that, like, this is just a thing that people don't get. The same people who are in charge of making laws are the same people who don't get it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So we'll see, man. Like, do you, I mean, to ask that question, do you think TikTok will be banned in the States?
No. I think it would be like a very poor move if the Americans
did that. Yeah.
I also think it would have a huge implication as to like what we do up here, which is the unfortunate part.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I don't know how that would work in Canada, but it's not that we're going to just be scot-free, you know?
No.
Like, there's going to be some implications here. But even just on Americans, like, I feel like that would cause an uproar. There's so many businesses that rely on, like, the traffic they get from TikTok.
Yeah, totally.
And to, like, end that.
It would just be so unfair.
It wouldn't make any sense.
Like, it wouldn't make any sense. It's like saying, oh, well, like, you know, it's like that radio show in the back in the day.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
oh, it's like UFOs exist. Ooh, okay, cool. Like, ban radio now.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't ban radio.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
I don't know, man. It's we'll see what happens. And it's funny because I'm getting a lot of that news of like what happened during that testimony on TikTok, and I'm seeing the clips there. You know
right.
what I mean? Which is kind of funny, but yeah, we'll see what happens there. The CEO's been very transparent. Like he's been like sharing the highlights of like what happened with Congress, and I think he's trying to be a bit more front facing. All of that is a strategy too, right?
Of course.
People see him as like
he's totally got it. He's
like
got
approachable
them,
and all of that. But
he's got them in the palm of their hands.
Hands. Hey, we'll see how it goes. We'll have these clips on TikTok, of course.
Yeah, of course.
But that's our episode.
That's episode eight.
Season 5.
Damn, man. Jeez.
Really great topics. Obviously, we had to cover our AI. We had to cover some sports.
Yeah.
Some weather. Bit of a recap of where we are.
Of course.
You know.
BioSteel plug too, of course.
BioSteel plug. Andrew Tate haters. Yeah,
Andrew Tate haters. Yo, listen. Actually, though, like jump in the comments and like
let us
know what
you
think.
I'm
excited to hear what your perspective is this time. But thank you so much for listening. Of course, stay tuned for more great content from both Doc and myself. A lot of great topics, definitely, as we look into what the summer months are going to be. And just get excited towards the warmer weather one step closer.
Let's get it. Peace.
Let's get it. Peace.